Campus FM jippreżenta 50 u waħda. L-istorja ta' Malta tul dawn l-aħħar 50 sena minajnejn il-Malta Historical Society. Prezentazzjoni u produzzjoni Sergio Grech. Nsellmilkom nilqgħukom għal programm ieħor minn din is-sensiela 50 u waħda. Inkomplu nisimgħu iktar lectures organizzati mis-Soċjetà Storika ta' Malta fl-okkażjoni tal-50 anniversarju mill-kisba tal-indipendenza, illum l-ewwel parti tal-programm tagħna Dr. Ruben Grima jitkellem dwar l-arkeoloġija f'Malta. Dan huwa suġġett ieħor bla dubju ta' xejn interessanti. Huwa suġġett li forsi ma tantx naħsbu dwar ukoll ħafna drabi l-arkeoloġija tkun wieħed jitfixkilha ħanajtek naħseb dik hija kelma tajba mal-istorja ta' pajjiż għalkemm l-arkeoloġija u l-istorja huma dixxiplini li x'imkien ukoll iridu jidħlu u jingħaqdu fl-imkien anke biex wieħed jissostitwixxi lill-ieħor. Imma ġustament wieħed jista' jitkellem li l-arkeoloġija hija dixxiplina indipendenti u anki f'pajjiżna din id-dixxiplina inhex xiela tiżviluppa wkoll. Ma nixxi ngħidu anki grazzi għall-Università ta' Malta wkoll grazzi għall-kors u għall-kontribut anki li taw diversi arkeologi Maltin. Insellem nies pereżempju bħal professur Anthony Bonanno, il-professur Anthony Frendo u nies oħrajn li bla dubju ħadmu biex dan is-suġġett jiżviluppa. Ikun f'post ukoll wieħed isemmi u jsellem personalità qawwija bħal Sir Temi Zammit li bla dubju ta' xejn taw ukoll sem tiegħu f'dan is-suġġett. Aħna wkoll gawdejna minn arkeologi baranin xi ftit jewwis ukoll anki għal dak li għandu x'jaqsam ma' sejbiet interessanti li saru f'pajjiżna. Però ħanieqaf hawnhekk u jkompli Dr. Ruben Grima fejn se jispjega kif żviluppat l-arkeoloġija f'pajjiżna tul dawn l-aħħar 50 sena. Ovvjament l-introduzzjoni tiegħi ma tagħmilx ġustizzja biżejjed ma' dan is-suġġett u ma' din il-lecture. Parentesi żgħira, tapprezzaw li dawn il-lectures saru barra mill-studios u allura l-kwalità forsi mhux dejjem tkun perfetta daqs li kieku wieħed qed jaħdem f'ambjent iktar ikkontrollat. Dr. Ruben Grima.
I thought I'd begin with this fountain, which most of you will know in St. Francis Square in Goto. It's at an important crossroads in Goto, but that's not the sense that I mean crossroads here. The reason I'm putting it up is that that was assembled with components of earlier buildings, so in a sense this is in itself a piece of archaeology. To celebrate the 25th anniversary of independence. And I also want this to remind me to tell you that I don't remember independence myself, but roughly my adult life coincides with the last 25 years since independence. And I saw this fountain being assembled piece by piece because I used to drive past it, or rather get driven past it, hanging out of a Land Rover, about four times a day as it came together. And the reason that we were going past it four times a day was that we were at the time digging at the Shara Circle in Gozo. I also want to emphasize the point that my adult memory coincides with the second half of the 50 years since independence, because I am going to contrast what happens in the first and second quarters of a century that have elapsed since then. And of course, there's a strong bias in the fact that for the second half, I am reliant on direct memory, and for the first half of that, I am reliant on what I've heard and read about developments in archaeology. Well, the reason we were going past it four times a day was we were excavating at the Shara Circle in Gozo, also known as the Brockdorf Circle, because of this, which is one of a pair of watercolors by Charles Frederick Brockdorf. And we weren't the first to dig on that site. It had already been dug in the 1820s by the governor of Gozo. And if you want to read more about this, there is a paper on the early history of this excavation published by Judge Bonello back in 1996 in the catalogue of the exhibition of some of the statuettes found on the site by Fondazione Patrimonio Malti. This picture is a useful reminder and a good starting point of the relationship between archaeology and politics. And it's a reminder that the very discipline of archaeology is inextricably bound with the history of colonialism. And if you take a closer look, that's the publication of the excavation I mentioned, the second campaign, which took place between 1987 and 1994. But taking a closer look at this image and looking at the figures in this image, you can see that the artist has depicted two very different groups of people. And although we don't know how faithful a representation it was of what he was seeing on the site, it is without doubt that the way that archaeology was being practiced was in many senses extremely exclusive. And you have, if we go ahead, we can speculate and play with this about the different discourses that were being played out on that scene. And I'm not just making all this up, because if you read Judge Bonello's paper, for instance, which was one of the first important contributions on the early history of the site, you will see how the two megalithic pillars, which you see there, were destroyed by the owner of the site when government refused to pay what he considered a fair and reasonable price to acquire the site. So there were all sorts of different perceptions being played out between the people inside that circle, being depicted inside that circle, who are, in this case, British military officers and a small proportion of the Maltese population, and the more indigenous population at large, which was simply not a party to this new discourse, which this newfangled discipline called archaeology and was giving us at that time. So starting from that point, coming up to where we are today, you can, in a rough and ready way, distinguish four principal chapters in the evolution of attitudes to archaeology. What we've just seen is very representative of the laissez-faire first stage in this. But then things changed quite dramatically in the 1880s, as we'll see in a moment. And I'll pick up the story on what happens more recently in the 20th century in a few minutes' time. So the laissez-faire picture you have seen illustrated by the Shara Circle. I won't dwell on it because of time. Moving to the 1880s, there's a very important turning point there, which very much continues to shape the way we do archaeology even today. And in many ways, this is a reflection of what's happening both across the British Empire and even in other empires assembled by the European powers elsewhere. And for the first time, there's a recognition by the state that it has to assume responsibility for these monuments. And there are huge debates in the Council of Government where the colonial authorities are pressured until they finally start moving and begin to invest in the acquisition of sites, initially through exchange, as in the case of the Cacciatura, and eventually through expropriation. And Annetto Antonio Caruana is one of the key players at this stage. He produces a report in 1882, which is still very much the foundation of our legal framework and the whole paradigm in which we take care of archaeology, and also lays the basis for the legislation which comes in first in 1910 and then developed in 1925 in the Antiquities Protection Act, which is only replaced as recently as 2002, coming into effect in 2003 with the new Cultural Heritage Act. And in the background you see the Domus in Rabat, as originally arranged by Galizia and Caruana in the 1880s. It's effectively the first purpose-built museum that we have in Malta. So, pressing on, this whole paradigm of the state taking responsibility for archaeology is very much a reflection. It resonates very well with the prevailing paradigm spreading across the British Empire. And it's neatly summed up in this quote from Lord Curzon, widely quoted, which really embodies the sense of this responsibility to inventory, catalogue, preserve, fence off, expropriate antiquities, and turn them, and turn even archaeological sites into mummified monuments excised from the landscape. And it's happening all across the British Empire and also being reflected here. And there's a timeline where you can see in greater detail how developments here were closely reflecting debates both in Britain and in other parts of the empire. And one can even extend this beyond the British Empire. So, at the same time, there's a very different kind of discourse happening. The nationalistic appropriation of these monuments. So, unlike some of the contexts, some of the other contexts in which the British were operating, in this case, there was a very vocal, very well-educated indigenous population, which was seeing the potential and even the political potential of these archaeological monuments and what they could represent in terms of discourse and even identity. And one of the most resonant quotes is this from Dr. Zaccaria Roncalli, who was a member of the Partito Antiriformista, so a colleague of Mizzi at the time, who, and it's worth reading out aloud in this case, this is one of his statements in the Council of Government. "We have been a civilized people since very ancient times, and we were already civilized when another people who now pretend to have mastered civilization," of course, this is a reference to the British colonial authorities, "were in savagery. We have a civilization of which any people may be jealous. Behold our historic temples, not to be found anywhere else in Europe." I'll pick this up again at the end, and I have a bone to pick with where we are today on this. Pressing on, well, Takachatura is one of the first sites which are taken into government ownership in this period. And another trend which is established quite early on is the tension with development and the resulting destruction. In 1920, one very sad incident was when the Lieutenant Governor, as chair of the Antiquities Committee, summons the Antiquities Committee with urgency, informs them that a road has to be built along the Burzabuja waterfront for military purposes, and that this was going to entail the destruction of a large number of these Bronze Age silo pits, and making it very clear that this was going to be a fait accompli and nothing that the Antiquities Committee would say was going to make any difference. And thankfully we have that document produced at the time. That was the best they could do. And it set a trend for this site itself, which suffered further depredations with successive widenings of that road, and even it's a trend which we continue to see in the landscape more generally, where much of the archaeological resource has been sacrificed. The paradigms created in this early period are consolidated in the post-war period. You have quite a hiatus in the Second World War and the whole regulatory framework when people were concentrating desperately, doing their best to save what they could of their collections. So everything is knocked out of kilter. But in the post-war period, it's very much a perpetuation and consolidation of the paradigms already established, with interventions like the reconstruction at Tarshin, the fencing off of Gigantia, and many other interventions which were following the same paradigm, really. So, Gigantia is just one example. You see it in 1930, still very much part of the landscape. By 1960, it's fenced off, and in 1980, the access road has been created, and this continues to be developed in shortly after with the reinforcing of this infrastructure, which has only recently been reversed. So This brings me to the post-colonial period, and this is an unashamedly quick and dirty 10 minutes worth overview of some of the most salient developments. So apologies for the superficiality constrained by time. But in terms of what changes in the immediate period following independence, there aren't dramatic changes. One of the most important things happening even in anticipation of independence in the early 1960s is that the field is finally opened to Italian archaeologists with the Italian Archaeological Mission. But the way archaeology is practiced and the way the Maltese public is engaged in that process doesn't really change. Doesn't change, certainly not visibly. So I've got my yellow card. So I'll now, a key, a crucial fact in those first 25 years is the suppression of the Faculty of Arts for practically a decade, which meant a complete hiatus even in the teaching of archaeology. And it's not a coincidence that in this book published in 1988, Maltese archaeology, particularly prehistory, is described as a case of archaeologia arrestata. And that was the situation we came into in that excavation at the Shara Circle, where we had very much a sense that we were reliving the pangs, the birth pangs of independence in our discipline, because we did not have, except for two individuals, Tancred Guder and Anthony Bonanno, we did not have a tradition of practicing archaeologists to learn from as undergraduate students. Pressing on. This is a dramatic contrast with what happens in the subsequent 25 years when, first with the launch of that excavation, the resumption of teaching in archaeology at university, the launch of the reform of the museums department, culminating in the creation of Heritage Malta and the superintendence of cultural heritage. And all the achievements of those organizations, I think, are still very much fresh in your mind. And I will not rehearse them here. There is much to celebrate. And I'll just conclude with a final thought, skipping this slide, which is back to Roncalli. And there is this business of how we have mobilized and deployed archaeology in our present discourse, even in political discourse. And there is this tendency to refer even to the temple builders as ancestors, when we know almost certainly that they are not our direct ancestors. And this discourse is used widely and rushing through this most recently in this exhibition, which is ongoing even to celebrate the 100th, the 50th anniversary of independence with 100 objects. Once again, there is this insistence that which is very much in the same vein as Roncalli, only a century later. And rushing through, we can skip this, the underlying assumption is that you somehow have a intact indigenous Maltese population in which all these outside influences are simply rulers who come and go, which is manifestly not supported by the evidence. And for my final slide, a much more useful way to think of this, which is borne out by the evidence, is that ultimately we are all immigrants here or descended from immigrants. And if you really take away the external influences in our cultural makeup, you're left with precious little. And these are just some thoughts, which I think 50 years after independence, perhaps, is a good time to rethink our approach to this, and that to stop thinking of Maltese identity as a single monolithic reality, but to embrace the eclectic and hybrid nature of being Maltese.
Naddu issa t-tieni parti tal-programm tagħna kif għamilna f'dawn l-aħħar ġimgħat qed ikollna wkoll l-opportunità li nagħtu ħarsa lejn uħud mill-kontribuzzjonijiet li ġew ippreżentati fil-proceedings tal-History Week tas-sena 2013. Għalkemm normalment il-programm hawnhekk fuq Campus FM ma jkunux dated f'dak is-sens, però dan huwa ġabra ta' kitbiet storiċi importanti u jagħmel sens li wieħed anke jirreferi għalihom għaliex nistgħu wkoll niflu ftit din il-konnessjoni interessanti issa f'dan il-każ b'din il-publikazzjoni bejn Malta u Spanja. Kif għedna dan il-proceedings jeġitjat minn Drs. Joan Abela u Emmanuel Buttigieġ u il-professur Carmelo Vassallo. Wieħed mill-artikli li personalment jiena interessani mill-ewwel fatt nagħmel konfessjoni żgħira anke l-ewwel artiklu li qrajt f'din il-ġabra huwa tħallna f'Madrid, The Spanish Civil War as viewed from Malta. L-artikolist huwa Giorgio Peresso li għandu koll MA fl-istorja u l-ewwel mistoqsija tiegħi se tkun din fil-fatt għaliex ħassejk li kellu jerġa' jirxoxta dal-famuż artiklu tħallna f'Madrid ta' minna żmien kienet l-unika artiklu li kont tisma' meta xi ħadd kważi jiżebblaħ lil Herbert Ganado. Għaliex issa ħassejt li kellek terġa' taddih mill-passatur tiegħek u tal-istorja.
Propjament dat title tħallna Madrid kien baqa' moħħal f'moħħi. Għax eżattament bħallum 50 sena kont mor Spanja u ħassejtni kont qiegħed wieħed minn dawk li daħlu Madrid fit-31st March 1939. Meta kont hemm jien mort fuq training fl-industrija, ma dort ftit kont rajt il-forti tal-Alkazar kien għadu parti minn mkissra. In-nies Spanja ma kienux jitkellmu fuq il-politika, jekk ikellmek xi ħadd kien jibda jħares l-immu lawħa li jara l-muqat jisimgħu ħadd. Donnu kien hemm ċerta affluenza, qisu kien hemm mirakolo ekonomiku ma kienux jitkellmu. Biss meta tmur Alkazar qishek mort xi tempju ma nafx Ġerusalemm jew. U f'dik l-epoka għaw Malta kien għaw polemika kbira fuq Ganado l-Partit Nazzjonalista. Ganado kellu l-Partit tiegħu u dejjem kelli l-ħsib wara moħħi biex nara x'kienet dil-affari għax mill-ftit li rajt għalkemm Franco kien għadu ħaj. Biss kienet tidher li ma nafx għaliex dal-gwerri jgħidulhom ċivili, ma kienet ċivili xejn.
Jekk nista' nistaqsik inti missierek kien Ganadjan mhux hekk ġej minn din l-atmosfera jew
aħjar ma nitkellimx fuq missieri għax kellu simpatija lej Ganado ma kellux il-kuraġġ li jgħid li kien Ganadjan.
Ġifieri ma influenzatekx imma di fl-għażla tiegħek?
Le laqgħax xejn, jiena missieru ma influenzani f'assolutament xejn. F'ħajti.
Sawa, kif wasalna għal dan l-artiklu?
Matul is-snin bqajt naqra. L-istoriografija moderna kienet pjuttost ma tantx kienet favorevoli għal Franco rrid nfittex fil-gazzetti għaw Malta kif rawa. Allol ftit xhur jekk tħares lej il-gazzetti kien hemm rapportaġġ frekwenti fuq il-gwerra. Kien hemm build-up ftit qabel il-famuża data ta' tħallna Madrid minn għalija kien xi 9 Novembru 1936. Li Franco kien qed javvanza, Madrid ma daħalx. Is-sib fil-gazzetti qed nirreferi partikolarment għall-berqa ritratti li għadek issibhom fil-kotba moderni, Kolonel Moscardo ma Franco bil-background tat-tifrik. Li kien hemm ma mbagħad naqas dik l-enfasi kollha fuq il-gwerra.
Għaliex taħseb ma kien hemm interess fiha l-kwistjoni? Bħala kurzita fl-aħbarijiet jew anke?
Hawn Malta peress li kien hawn klima ġifieri Kattolika ħafna kienu ipinġuha bħala gwerra santa kważi. Moscardo sibu referenza liħ bħala speċi l-lavalletta Malta. U mbagħad rrid nipprova nfittex ukoll jekk kienx hemm xi ħadd ieħor barra l-gazzetti. L-unika persuna li ħalla rakkont tal-gwerra ċivili kien teacher tat-Taljan li kien jgħallem hawn Malta kien jismu Umberto Calosso dam suppost mar pala holiday la da abdet il-gwerra ċivili, baqa emmek sa summer holidays korra u dib il-gwerra ċivili baqat f-moħu sa kem baqa ħaj. Ipprovajt infittex ġifiri jekk inxem xi Maltin. Herbert Ganado kellu xi polemika minn għalija fin-1951 ma xi ħadd li kien jikteb anonim fuq il-gazzetta ta' Boffa, jidher li l-gazzetta kien jisima Leħn il-Ħaddim u donnu kien hemm xi nies oħrajn Maltin li marru volontarji tal-gwerra ċivili. Ma r-rapportaġġ tal-gazzetti kien ikun b'num da plums u ma ta' baċ.
U dal-Maltin marru jġildu man-naħa ta' Franco ġifieri?
Man-naħa ta' Franco. Forsi kien hemm xi nofs żana kollox.
U nafu minn huma eżatt jew
għadha assolutament xejn. Li kien hemm ħafna interessanti u li l-Ingliżi evakwaw iċ-ċittadini Brittaniċi, il-Maltin kienu kellhom passaport Ingliż u minn kienu li ġewaw ma nafux, imma kien hemm wieħed personaġġ interessanti Agostino Levanzin kien Majorka u daħalla rakkont id-dettaljat kif ġabruh minn fejn kien skont uġi maltrattat fuq il-vapur għax ippretenda xi dita speċjali u da Levanzin biss jiġifieri hemm bżonn li xi ħadd jistudjah sew diġà.
Da biex niftehmu l-istess Levanzin tas-saħħar falsu naħla l-istess karattru ta' kien. Jider dar id-dinja u kollu
Dak u kien Majorka u kien jgħix Monaco għalli mar biex nħabba l-klima Majorka, ma nafx differenza bejn Monaco u
Majorka.
U Majorka, ma ħalla rakkont id-dettaljat ħafna fil-protesta tiegħu.
Ġorġ, ovvjament, dal-famuż artiklu ta' Herbert Ganado baqa' imċappas miegħu ħajtu kollha. Taħseb li żbalja dakinhar li uża dak il-famuż titlu speċjali x'tħallna mhux daħlu.
Għax hu bħala ġifieri editur tal-Gazzetta tal-Azzjoni Kattolika kienu qed iżommu l-pożizzjoni tal-Kattoliċi, il-Gazzetti kienu qed juru l-ħruxijiet li kienu qed jsiru kontra l-Kattoliċi u ma tantx issib l-ħruxijiet li għamlu l-Frankisti stess. Anki fuq il-Kattoliċi, il-Frankisti qatlu anki saċerdoti f'dil-gwerra.
Għax il-kwistjoni komplikat ruħa.
Ma l-Baski għax il-Baski ma kienux favur Franco.
Aħna se nifqgħu hawnhekk minn din l-intervista, però nkomplu issa wkoll nitkellmu ma' Giorgio Peresso dwar dan l-artiklu interessanti tiegħu ippubblikat fil-Proceedings of History Week 2013 fl-edizzjoni ta' 8 tiem oħra. Ningrazzja lil Samuel Attar tal-Bilanċ Tekniku, jiena Sergio Brek insemmilkom. Smajtu 51. Program fuq Campus FM miġjublilkom mill-Malta Historical Society. Prezentazzjoni, produzzjoni, Sergio Grech.